Welcome to the Midlife Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Michelle, a certified life and relationship coach, and I am so excited that you are here. The Midlife Chaos is for all of us facing midlife and wondering, how the heck did I get here? And where the flip am I going? Here we will talk about all the things that chaos brings. No topic is off the table, so join me on this adventure as we navigate the midlife chaos. Hey there. Okay, I've got to tell you about my new obsession. It is the Barkley Marathon. Have you guys heard of this? I know I've heard about it before. We have some friends that are runners and they've mentioned it before. But this year, I've kind of seen some things on TikTok and just knew that it was about the time of year that it was happening. And so JR had the kids watch a documentary on the Barkley Marathon the other night. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, this thing is so insane. So I'm watching it. And so but if you've not heard of the Barkley Marathon, this falls under the ultra marathon category. There's like a series of five loops, and each loop is, they say it's 20 miles, but some people argue that it is actually 26 miles. So it's basically you're doing five marathons in a row, but you only have 60 hours to finish. So you can do a loop and then have as much time as you want between the loop because there's no relief people that can come on the trail with you. And so you have to do that whole marathon by yourself, and then you can come back to the base camp and get a nap, have a meal, take care of any wounds, that kind of thing. And then you are back to running again. So you've got 60 hours to finish this thing. And it is so crazy. They say that it is like climbing Mount Everest two times. And then it's just through some rugged terrain. There's a whole section of like a briar patch that you're running over. You're up and down, you know, all this terrain. You cross a river. And I mean, you even at one point run underneath a jail that's out there. But there's like hardly any information out about the Barkley Marathon. So the way that you can even get into it, you kind of have to know somebody. I think there is like an obscure email out there that you can send an email, and you have to write an essay on why you should be able to run the Barkley Marathon. And it's typically in March, you know, early part of April. Some places have said that it's the weekend nearest April Fool's. And it's very eccentric. The two gentlemen that have sponsored this or created this marathon are pretty eccentric. They have all these interesting rules, like so you have to write the essay to get in, and only 35 participants are accepted into the race each year. The application fee is $1.60, and people typically bring it to the race with them, but they don't give out change. So if you give them $2, they're keeping that 40 cents. If you give them a $5 or a $20, they're just pocketing that extra money. So that's kind of funny. And then the entrance fee actually changes every year. So one year it was a button-down shirt, one year it was a pair of socks. If you're a first-time runner or a Barkley Virgin, they call you, then you have to bring a license plate to add to their collection. They have a bugler there that plays taps whenever someone falls out of the race. And actually, before the race starts, they pick one person to be the loser, like just based on their essay, or they've come and checked in. They kind of have an idea, oh yeah, this guy is not going to make it. So they already even have picked out who the loser is going to be. There's no official start time. So people kind of come in and I guess at some point they're told when the weekend is, right? And they start showing up, they do all the registration, and then they're just kind of on hold until the race director, or his name is Laz, he blows into a conch shell. And so he can blow it in the middle of the night. He can blow it in the afternoon. There's no telling. I believe this year they blew it at 5:17 in the morning. Oh, no, the race started at 5:17, which means he blew it at 4:17 in the morning. So I'm just thinking, wow, I've never run a marathon. I like to think I could be a runner. Like, I feel like running is probably the absolute best physical activity as far as like being healthy and physical and all that thing, but I can't even run to my mailbox. Let's not joke around here. Like, I am no way in shape to run. I'm just thinking, wow, what are you eating? What are you like? Are you carb loading? Are you eating your protein? Like, 'cause you don't even know when the race starts. How are you supposed to really get some good sleep before the race because you just know any sound is going to startle you and let you think that that's the conch. But so after the conch shell is blown, you have 1 hour to get to the starting line. And then the race actually starts when the race director lights a cigarette. So that is interesting. So you can only take what you can carry. There's no relief crews, like I said. But you can take as much time as you need between the loops, but then your time keeps ticking. So that's something to consider. What else? Oh, and it is not a marked race. There's no GPS. There's one official map. And so people have to just kind of, when you come check in, you get the map and you can like if you have a copy, you can maybe sketch it out on your own. But you can't, there's not like an official like map, or there's nobody on the course that's showing you where to go. And the way that they keep people on target is there is like, I think on the video I watched, they said 11, but when I was reading something about it, I thought it said 14, but there's these different books laid out on the course and you have to go to the book and pull out your number of page and then collect those and then turn them in after each loop. And then they count to make sure that you hit all, you know, 11 or 14 books or whatever. So they have only had, out of the however many years, only like 20 people have finished this race. And the race started in the 80s, and they actually extended it to that 100 miles in 1989. Well, this year they had the first woman complete the Barkley Marathon, and she did it with a minute and 39 seconds to spare. I'm thinking, whoa, just stopping to tie your shoe, having, you know, if you stumbled and had to pick yourself up, if you waited an extra minute at, you know, at your checkpoint in between loops, like that minute and 39 seconds could have been eaten up so fast at any point of the marathon. And so after this marathon having been so many years and how so few people have actually completed the marathon, I am like team Jasmine Paris. Like, I am so impressed with this lady. And I've kind of done some like little research on her just to be like, okay, what's her background? Where's she coming from? And she has been a marathon runner, an ultra marathon runner for years. Actually, a few years ago, she even had to stop and like express her breast milk throughout the course because she, that was her, that phase of life. And I'm thinking, wow, for her to have had a baby and be in that shape and outrunning ultra marathons while she's still nursing, like, good for her. But this Barkley Marathon this year, she's 40 years old. So I kind of have been reminded lately, just in different things I've read or TikToks or whatever, that, you know, sometimes we get hard on ourselves that we have to have it all together or know what we're going to do. But when you think of some of these like super amazing people or who have met these great accomplishments, they're doing it 40 plus. You know, they haven't even realized their dream of acting or education or running or whatever it is. You know, they're not doing that when they're in their teens and their early 20s. Like, these are seasoned people that are just finding their passion. And I think, wow, what a motivation to, you know, think about things kind of in this midlife as we're making these transitions. Like, who knows? You could be the next Barkley Marathon winner at whatever age that you are. So I love that March was women's history and just kind of being aware of the accomplishments that women have made. And so for it to end up this month with Jasmine Paris being the first woman to complete the Barkley Marathon, like, kudos to you, woman. That is amazing. But I feel like the months are just breezing by. I was thinking that February was so fast because, you know, we did some traveling, but then March came and just zoomed right on by us. Like, we did have a crazy, hectic, super busy month. And it was my birthday, so maybe that was it. But whoo, I was watching a video yesterday of all the crazy things that have happened so far this year. Wow. I forgot about the alien sighting at the Miami Mall in January. Anyone else? And does anyone remember that Amelia Earhart possibly was found? So it's been a crazy 2024 so far, but it's been a ride for sure. So I do love when a month starts on a Monday or a Sunday. Like, Mondays get a bad rap, right? Like, ugh. But it's kind of that, especially when a month starts on a Monday or a Sunday, there's like this sense of rejuvenation that comes with it. And so here we are in April. And first of all, April is Autism Acceptance Month. So just want to be aware of our autistic friends. I know that that spectrum is quite wide. And, you know, I think on some days, all of us fall on the spectrum at some point. But I do love to give the extra love and the acceptance and the awareness, all those things to those that have that great blessing of autism. It is also Stress Awareness Month. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So something about me is that I am not a stressor. First of all, my husband stresses enough for both of us. And second, I have this it is what it is kind of mindset. If I can't change it, then I just have to deal with it. No stress. But I also do value and spend a lot of time for myself. It's important to me to focus on self-care, however that looks. It could mean I'm going to out to dinner, or I'm going to order in because I've been busy and I don't need the stress of cooking. Or maybe my kitchen is clean and I just don't feel like messing it up. It could mean that I like to treat myself to a massage when I'm out of town. I have mentioned many times that one of my resolutions this year is to clear out my clutter, downsize, minimize, whatever I've said. And so I haven't been purchasing as many things. I do, however, am very mindfully purchasing things that bring me joy. So for example, I bought myself some hot pink booties with feathers poking out the top. They are fabulous. I have been eyeing these for months. And I think I've mentioned that too in here that I love these, you know, this thing I wanted. And if they were still available, I would purchase them for my birthday. And I did. And I love them. They are the most impractical thing that I own. But the giggle I get when I get asked to see them, or the prance I do around the house when I try them on, is the absolute definition of joy in my heart. And I don't even have them on my shelf. They are protected in the box still, so I can't just see them when I walk in my closet, but I see the box smiling at me, and I love them. So will I ever wear them? Okay, I live off dirt roads, and there are not many occasions, or even if there were, they would definitely stick out. And my driveway is that thick clay-like scoria, and it is muddy here more months than not. So I may take them on vacation, but that was a purchase because I couldn't give myself a reason not to purchase them. Reading and listening to books is something else that I take for myself. I take a bubble bath most nights, and that is my time to be left alone. I can scroll TikTok or message friends and just not be interrupted. I get my little snack and a drink, and I can be in there for hours. So self-care can look all sorts of different ways because we all have different stressors or needs or just stuff we are dealing with and going through. Years ago, probably my first year of college, I decided that April was Get Fit Month. And I'm sure that started as an, okay, I've fallen off the New Year's resolution wagon of getting into shape. So that was like my restart. Over the years, it kind of morphed into get fit, whatever that means to you. Get emotionally fit, get spiritually fit, get fit educationally. You could start a new hobby, like get sourdough fit, or just check back in on your resolutions and get fit in whatever that area is too. So this month, I want to focus on getting emotionally fit. So according to COA, which is COA, they're an organization, they have a website that's all about emotional health. And according to them, there are 7 traits of emotional fitness: self-awareness, empathy, mindfulness, curiosity, play, and resilience. So self-awareness is the ability to understand our emotional triggers and biases. So a good way to work on this is maybe 10 minutes at the end of the day, do a little debrief of like what felt good and what didn't feel so good. You could journal, meditate, go for a walk, but just check in with yourself. Research shows that 95% of people believe that they are self-aware, but only about 10 to 15% really are. So really check in with yourself, because sometimes we blow ourselves off. I'm fine, you know. I was visiting with a friend yesterday who has had quite quite a bit of changes, and a lot, in my opinion, a lot is on her plate. And so I was asking her how how is she doing? How are you doing? How can I help you? And she said, oh, it's fine. It'll be fine. And then she kind of sarcastically said, this is what I wanted. This is what I asked for. And my thought is, it doesn't mean that it isn't hard or that it isn't a struggle. It's okay to realize that it is difficult. I think new moms fall into this trap. Well, we can't complain if the kids are hard or that being a stay-at-home mom is hard, because then people give us the, well, aren't you blessed to even have children? Or aren't you blessed to be able to stay home? You wanted kids, you shouldn't complain. But then the flip side is, when the moms who work voice that they miss their kiddos, they get the, well, you could just stay home. You're choosing to work outside the home. Yes, that is all true, and it is still hard some days. In our midlives, as we are welcoming, aging parents into our home, or we're starting to take on more responsibilities for their care, yes, it is going to be hard and difficult, and it will be tough dealing with who once were so able and loving. Maybe they're a little more ornery, or maybe need a closer eye on them. It doesn't mean that we don't love them or that we're not grateful that we get to be these providers, but it can still be hard at the same time. So don't blow off your feelings. Don't blow off your feelings of or your intuitions about your health. Ladies, although a lot of those perimenopause signs are quote unquote normal, meaning everybody experiences them, it doesn't mean that there isn't help for you. So go ahead and take that self-awareness check at the end of the day and be really honest with yourself how you're feeling physically and emotionally. Okay, empathy. That's the ability to understand the emotions, needs, and perspectives of others. This is so important in building relationships. Empathy also helps us recognize how we feel about things, and that how we feel about things may not be how others feel. It helps us to seek to listen and understand even when things get difficult. Learn to be clear about what you can offer others and what you don't have the capacity to give. Mindfulness is the ongoing process of becoming more comfortable being uncomfortable. Mindfulness is really sitting with the problem until it has been fully thought through. Understanding what your reaction is to discomfort gives you more power to change that reaction if it is not serving you. Being mindful is really being aware of what you desire and how you react. So when I talk about being mindful about the things that I purchase, I'm really analyzing how that item is going to benefit me. Do I need it or just want it? Is it just something fun to have? And maybe that answer is the same. There are so many cute, darling things that I would just love to bring home with me. But where is it going to go? What am I going to do with it? I have gone to buy a number of shirts or whatever, and then I'm like, am I actually going to wear this, or do I just think it's cute? Then the Marie Kondo is coming out, right? I can love it and still leave it at the store. Except those very impractical feather booties. I needed those, and I love them. But even then, I didn't just impulsively buy them. I waited for a reason and was okay with the idea that they may be sold out by then. And as a matter of fact, when I went back to my photos to show somebody a picture of them, I had to go back before Christmas to find the screenshot. But talking about mindfulness and how it relates to discomfort, understanding your reaction to discomfort gives you more power to change that reaction if it is not serving you. Curiosity is the ability to pursue the growth over defensiveness. It helps us to understand and tolerate the difference between what we want to be true and what actually is. A big part of curiosity is asking questions, even when the answers to those questions are uncomfortable. If you're coming with questions to understand rather than gotcha questions or questions to prove where you're right and they're wrong, it opens us up to growth. Can you tell me more about that? What was that like for you? What could I do differently next time? Play is the ability to foster a safe space of connection and creativity. A key part of play is building it into your daily routine. Allow yourself to be silly. Have you ever just watched a kid playing? They don't give two craps of who's watching or what people are thinking. They're making up rules and tricks. They're running around and jumping. When or who told us that we can't do that anymore? My kids used to run in circles. They'd run around the island in the kitchen. They would just sprint for no reason at the park. They'd put on their Superman cape or their sparkly plastic high heels and are out there living their best lives. And we need more of that in our own lives. To me, music plays a huge role in this. I have playlists set up for all sorts of moods or scenarios. I'm getting ready for the day. I've got my Get It playlist. Gonna clean house, 90s R&B. Feeling like I need to ground myself and come back to center, I have my witchy or goddess playlist, depending on what I'm meditating about. But play with others, I love opportunities to get out of a building and get to know people on a different level. So for example, church. I love it. I love the worship and I love the spirit that I feel there. But there is nothing quite like getting out into nature. I get to lead the teenage girls from my church on an annual campout. We are silly and crafty and we play games and sing campfire songs and take hikes and go swimming. We have great discussions. We get into the scriptures, but something about being outdoors just brings a different level of worship. Barriers are brought down, and in that uncomfortableness of being away from the conveniences of life, the girls grow spiritually with their friendships, and they mostly grow just themselves. And I believe this is also why companies or leadership groups will do team building exercises. Just get out of the norm and be willing to let loose a little, and you can really connect with others. In our family, we love to play games. And it kind of builds a competitive nature. It allows us to be silly. We smack talk. We unite and gang up on dad. And the more you incorporate fun into your life, the easier it becomes and then gives permission to those around you to do the same. Resilience is the ability to persevere and bounce back from failure and setbacks. This trait helps us understand that there is more to be learned from failure than success, and helps us to be flexible and adaptive in the face of challenge. Resilience is also the ability to notice that when your self-confidence is low, you can look at all the good things about yourself and say, you know what, that's not the whole story. And communication. Communication is the ability to put words to needs, boundaries, and expectations. This trait helps us talk through issues and is a big part of communication in being able to handle conflict effectively. When you find yourself in a disagreement with another person, try swapping positions in the argument. This loosens that need to be right and helps you to see the other person's perspective coherently. You may even see a different point of view and might help you meet in the middle easier. Getting emotionally fit is a lot like getting physically fit. It's a lot easier to get started when you're already feeling good, but we all need it and we can start anywhere. Any of these seven traits of emotional fitness are not contingent on any other one. So you can pick one that maybe you're already good at or one that you can already tell you need to work on and start there. So if you're into silly holidays, today being April 2nd is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. So go make yourself a sandwich and tap into one of these areas that you think you could work on. And if you're looking to add some more play into your life, tomorrow is World Party Day. Have a good time. Thank you for listening to The Midlife Chaos. If you liked what you heard, please leave a review. I sure would appreciate that. And of course, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. If you want to see what else we are up to, check out my Instagram at The Midlife Chaos or join our Facebook group, Midlife Chaos VIPs.